Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Dreamforce Services Limited Q2 FY24 conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Today, on this call, we have with us Ms. Vibhuta Galik, Chairperson and Managing Director, Ms. Jiya Diwan, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Balaji Srinivasan, Chief Technology Officer and Executive Director, and Mr. Sandeep Sonawane, Chief Business Officer. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Vibhuta Galik. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us on the Q2 FY24 earnings conference call to discuss the company's operational and financial performance. We hope you all have had the opportunity to go through our investor presentation and press release that has already been uploaded on the stock exchange and our website. For those who are new to Dreamforce story, we are India's leading airport and lifestyle service aggregator, having pioneered the concept of airport lounge access in India and enjoy a market share of over 90% in the card-based domestic lounge access in India and 100% lounge coverage across Indian airports. We provide an in-house proprietary technology platform that allows our clients to create custom service offerings for their end customers. Our company has a global footprint extending to over 1,500 touchpoints in over 100+ countries. Over the years, we have ventured into additional value-added services like meet and assist, golf games and lessons, airport transfer, visa at your doorstep, spa services, airport dining, and transit hotel nap room access, and many other services. We are focusing on these value-added services both in terms of the number of services and their share in the overall revenue pie. We have also been tapping into more geographies by partnering with global lounge players like Aspire Lounges and the Plaza Premium Group. Now, let me turn your attention to the performance of the quarter. Our Q2 revenues came in at rupees 282 crore, which was a 6.1% sequential increase over the Q1 revenue of rupees 266 crore. Gross profit came in at rupees 35 crore, which translated to a 12.41% gross margin and an increase of 1.74% over the gross margins of the last quarter. The profit after tax was rupees 18 crore, translating to a net profit margin of 6.25%, an increase of 1.39% over the last quarter. Last quarter, we discussed the difference in timing between cost increases for lounge operators and the price changes for our customers. I am pleased to report that this mismatch has now started to correct itself, which is why our margin has begun to improve on a sequential basis. In terms of some general business highlights for the quarter, we have started providing golf as part of our service offerings to a new few of our clients. This is a positive step in our efforts to diversifying our revenue mix and increasing the wallet share of other services. In addition to this, we have also entered into the Malaysia market, thereby spreading our wings into another Southeast Asia country. We have also collaborated with a leading visa service provider to offer premium lounges at visa processing centers and doorstep visa services. This strategic partnership marks a significant milestone for Dreamforce, as these services will enhance the tailor-made offerings to augment Dreamforce clients' card loyalty programs and card value proposition. Now, let me touch upon an important structural change that is happening in the cards industry. Some of you might have read news articles that few banks are changing the program structure of the benefits on the card programs. What used to be a blanket card benefit for customers is slowly being changed to a spend-based structure by such banks. For the lounge benefit, this would imply that there is a threshold spent by the customer on the category of the card on the credit or the debit card to get the usage of lounge services. The broader change put forth by the banks will be visible beginning November-December. At an industry level, this optimization and benefits of non-premium cards may have a short-term impact on these non-premium card sales. However, on the flip side, we expect travelers who are specifically looking on a premium benefit, such as lounge access, will shift to premium cards that offer this facility. We believe consumers will get the chance of upgrading cards within the same bank offering or shift to other competitors. Realistically, the change to a premium offering might take a quarter or two to manifest from consumer awareness to applying and sanctioning the new cards. Due to this change, while in the short run, we expect a reduction in the revenue trajectory. We believe that for the longer term, the move to a spend-based benefit mechanism will be a sustainable for all the stakeholders concerned. We expect the impact of these changes made by various card issuers to be visible starting November-December. Given the evolving nature of the specific changes made on the various categories of cards, it would be premature on our part to quantify the impact at this moment. We expect that our previous guidance would have to be revised. And where does our confidence on the long-term growth stem from? It is a combination of many factors, but I would like to highlight a few that are driving this unique industry forward. The first factor is travel that is driving growth. The travel industry is expected to continue to grow at a CAGR of 9% and expected to reach US$125 billion by FY27 from US$75 billion in FY20, driven by factors such as rising middle class, increased urbanization, and a shift in consumer preferences towards the travel and new experiences. Despite being seasonal modest quarter for the industry, the domestic passenger data from the DGCA showed that the traffic this quarter grew by more than 20% year-on-year, driven by an improvement in both business and leisure travel. Next, the credit card industry in India is expected to experience significant growth as the number of credit cards are expected to grow by 33 times in the next two decades. This will be driven by increasing shift towards digital payments. According to industry reports, online card usage has already reached 60% of the total card spending, primarily in the hospitality, travel, and leisure, the consumer durable sectors. However, credit card penetration in India remains low, at around 5.5%. This presents a significant opportunity for growth as consumers' attitudes and behavior towards credit cards continue to evolve. As the industry continues to witness robust demand, Dreamforce are well positioned to capitalize on the growth opportunities supported by the industry tailwinds. The good thing for us is that all our clients are implementing these spend and usage models using our proprietary technology, which further increases our deep integration with our clients. Our technology continues to be one of our greatest strengths, and our team has built a platform which is deeply integrated into our clients' operations, which also adds to the long-term sustainability of the business. The platform and the technology is cloud-based and is aimed at providing our clients and their end consumers the visibility of the benefits, provide access to such benefits, a choice of access mechanism using a host of services, while getting an excellent consumer experience. And this superior technology stack on the multiple modes we have at our company. Through our platform, we allow lounges and other operators to check the benefits of the consumer based on the cards, memberships, or vouchers, and also allow access to the different facilities based on the benefits or integration as per our clients. Our next stage of growth is predicted on a multifaceted approach. We will persist in the endeavor to promote and enhance our offerings to our clients, leveraging the introduction of premium services. I would now request Sandeep to give an update on the business front.
Thank you, Nibrita. I am happy to announce that we have got our first major client for our recently launched eSIM services, where the consumer of our client will get access to a free eSIM for valid cards. We also continue to see good traction in other services. During the quarter, we have also formed a strategic partnership with a leading visa service provider to offer premium lounges at visa centers. Moreover, we will also be able to provide doorstep visa services, which will allow customers to conveniently submit their visa application from the comfort of their homes or offices. Further, as Libretta mentioned, we have also started providing golf services to some of our clients in this quarter, including one of the biggest card issuers in the country. Through this offering, the customer of a client can arrange their golfing excursions and lessons simply by giving a call to the dedicated concierge services. We also expanded our global footprint by entering Malaysia market with technology solutions by offering our card-based lounge benefit management. This is a very different type of model where the lounge operator, in addition to being a service provider, also acts as a client to provide such benefits to their customer base. These efforts are testament to our customer-centric approach that we follow in all our efforts. We are constantly developing strategies around scaling up the current services and are on lookout for bringing on newer services to a spectrum of services. Another aspect we are extremely focused on is diversifying in terms of geography. This will not only increase our brand identity globally, but also enable our current customers in India to access lounge services across the world. We continue to be on the lookout for opportunities to spread our wings, like our collaboration with leading organizations like Plaza Premium Group and Aspire Lounges. In addition to this, we are also looking at diversifying in terms of client mix and are actively adding enterprise setup to our client base by providing a tailor-made solution to them, compelling value proposition for their client and stakeholders. Thus, we aim to expand into newer sectors to create customer engagement and provide loyalty management solutions to de-risk or reduce our dependency on one type of a client. Finally, with regards to our models, our continuous evolution aims to ensure our readiness for the future. We are dedicated to furnishing our clients with bespoke solutions, whether through advisory services or by crafting tailor-made solutions and product offering that precisely align with their requirement. For an update on technology front, I would like to invite Balaji to take it forward.
Thank you, Sandeep. Regarding our tech infrastructure, a proprietary platform has been developed internally with the primary objective of delivering a seamless experience to our clientele. Leveraging this technology, we possess the capability to design advanced, custom-tailored products and solutions for our clients. This approach allows us to enhance the spending habits of our clients by offering precisely targeted products and presenting a high-quality value proposition rather than a one-size-fits-all solution. As Libretta mentioned, we are observing an industry trend where many of our clients are looking to implement spend and usage-based solutions. And we are seeing rapid adoption of our spend and usage-based solutions by our clients to optimize the TCO of the product offerings and also launch new product initiatives. Now, consistent with our asset-light philosophy and operation strategy, our entire system is cloud-based. This infra enables operators and other partners to promptly assess the benefits available to consumers and grant access to services based on their eligibility. This not only facilitates accurate accounting, but also serves as a deterrent to system misuse, ultimately improving customers' experience and service by reducing unjustified denials. A notable feature of a platform is its user-friendly benefit configuration and management capabilities. We offer integration options and data exchange APIs for our partners, making our services accessible through various channels, including credit cards, debit cards, card issuer apps, our proprietary app, self-checking kiosk, web-based portals, and a normal web access tool. Furthermore, we empower banks to seamlessly integrate these benefits into their own applications, ensuring a seamless experience for end consumers. We've also introduced Golf Click to our clients' platforms, and the golf services are also seamlessly integrated into the in-house platform. In conclusion, to reiterate what Libretta mentioned, our tech represents our most significant asset, and we maintain a steadfast commitment to invest in to ensure unparalleled quality, agility, minimal downtime, and as a result, to differentiate ourselves from competitors. Now, I hand over the call to Gia for an update on the financial performance.
Good evening, everyone. Let me quickly take you through our financial performance for the quarter and half year. The company has recorded a robust 65% YOY growth in terms of revenue this quarter, from rupees 171 crores in Q2 FY23 to rupees 282 crores in Q2 FY24. This growth can be attributed to the pickup in volumes in this quarter, driven by strong travel demand. Gross profit has also recorded a strong growth of 30.4% YOY from rupees 27 crores to rupees 35 crores in this quarter. EBITDA for Q2 FY24 stood at rupees 25 crores in Q2 FY24 as against rupees 21 crores in up by 18.1% YOY. PAT for the quarter was at rupees 18 crores, up by 19.2% from rupees 15 crores in Q2 FY23. EPS for the quarter stood at rupees 3.37 per share. For H1 FY24 too, our revenues recorded a robust growth of 65.6% YOY from rupees 332 crores to rupees 549 crores. Gross profit was up by 21.9% YOY at rupees 63 crores in H1 FY24 as against 52 crores in the corresponding period of last year. EBITDA for H1 FY24 stood at rupees 44 crores as against rupees 40 crores in H1 FY23. PAT for H1 FY24 stood at rupees 31 crores as against rupees 28 crores in the corresponding period of last year. EPS for H1 FY24 stood at rupees 5.82 per share. Our strong profitability and our ability to manage our operations efficiently has enabled us to maintain strong return ratios, as ROE stood at 15.7% and ROCE at 20.4% on YTD basis. Being an asset-light company with a lean team and organizational structure, we do not have any major capex needs for the time being and are confident of financing any future acquisitions or expansions through internal accruals. Our working capital cycle stood in line with our expectation, with our receivable days and payable days to be within a range of 100 days and 75 days respectively. With this, I would like to hand over the call to Librata for the closing remarks.
Thank you, Gia. I would like to thank everyone who has joined us for this earnings call. At Dreamforce, we are actively engaged in various strategic endeavors aimed at expanding our service offerings. We leverage our robust technological expertise and our market clientele to do so. Our company holds a prominent position in the airport service industry, and our primary focus is to diversify our client base, ensuring a consistent and prudent performance. The encouraging external tailwinds, such as the rise in domestic passenger traffic, the increased use of digital payments, and the growing demand of the lounge services and related offerings, offer substantial growth potential in the years to come. Our adept technology and strong team are poised to deliver strong performance in the future. We are confident in our ability to navigate any short-term challenges that might affect our performance, versus our steadfast industry presence and a solid foundation of our company, while maintaining an unwavering belief in the long-term sustainability of our business model. With that, I will request the moderator to open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of C.A. Vikash from Ecomtree. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. One thing, in the last quarter, you just mentioned about the gross margin is 11 to 13%. Whether this margin is intact in the future?
So we had mentioned 11 to 13% range. Are we audible to you?
Yeah.
We had Okay. We had mentioned 11% to 13% of the gross margin in our previous quarter. We maintained the same stance in this quarter as well.
Okay. So this is a continue in the next 2-3 quarters.
So this is an annual guidance which we have provided.
Yeah.
If you see, okay, compared to the previous quarter, this quarter the margins have improved.
Yeah, understand. And what is the average range in the per passenger? Because right now our train clock specs is a 2.7 is there. Last quarter is a 2.6 is there. And what is the average revenue per passenger is there?
Yeah, so this quarter's, if you see the passenger base, that is 2.7 million compared to 2.63 million previous quarter. And if you look at the ticket rate, this quarter it is 990.
It's improved from the last quarter, is a 915 is there.
Yes.
And one thing also, in the last question, in the cash flow side, one part is the net cash from the investing activities, which is an increase 343.84. Might be this is an investment you sell out, I think.
Yes.
Certain investment is there.
Right. So this is an investment of the free cash reserve, which we have, which we deploy for earning the investment income.
Okay. This is a listed entity or it's a subsidiary entity we invested in the FY23?
No, it would be in either overnight funds or fixed deposits. So these are completely secured based on our approved investment policy. We do not invest in the market directly.
Okay. Understood. Thank you, Lakshita. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mukul Garg from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes Mukul.
Yeah, hi Lipita. Good evening. And I think quite a commendable performance this quarter. Despite the air traffic going down, you guys continue to see more and more people come in. Just want to, you know, get an understanding, because it has been, you know, I think a fairly long duration that you have been increasing the conversion rate. Any sense you have whether it is on account of, you know, more lounges opening up, or is this something, you know, which is because more people are kind of entering the lounges? And I'm just kind of thinking about, you know, from a this quarter perspective, any sense you can provide exactly what is going on behind this?
So I would say that, you know, as we have also mentioned earlier, that, you know, the awareness of lounges are growing, and I would say that is one of the biggest reasons, right? Yes, number of lounges growing will add, but I would say the major thing right now would be, you know, the awareness of lounges and the benefit being given on the cards. So that is one of the major factors.
Sure. And the second question was, you know, you mentioned that, you know, as, you know, kind of card issuers are rejigging, you know, the way they kind of offer the facilities to their customers. How should we think about the drag in the near term? And is this something which you expect to kind of come into the base, you know, in over next 2-3 quarters? Or is this, will this spread out over a longer term period? I know you can't really quantify it because it's very difficult, but any sense on whether this can have a meaningful impact?
So, Mukul, we are actually giving you a heads up on upcoming trend, where some of the benefits of the cards will be given out on meeting certain criteria. Maybe it is spend based or usage based that we are, you know, we have told. But the spend based process has already rolled out, and some of the banks are already doing as we speak. For the, you know, so for the time that we have seen since they have implemented, there has been no serious impact as such we are seeing. But we thought at this point in time, it's right to actually call it out.
No, really appreciate it. I think that's that answers the point. The last question which I had from my side was on this Malaysian expansion. Just if you can help us understand how this model will work, because this looks more like a kind of you guys are providing a software solution to them, and is this going to be a more of a paper usage kind of a model similar to what you do in India, or is it going to be different? And does this mean that you are kind of going with a slightly different approach globally versus in how we operate in Indian markets?
So Mukul, the thing is that when we said that it is a different model altogether, unlike lounges, which are right now our service provider, right? Here, what we have done is that we have actually given a solution to us. So that is, the technology what we have built is also going to be used by the service providers, okay? So yes, Malaysia is the first market where we have actually started this. For their other customers, see, unlike, if you actually see, it's not just the card, users who are actually accessing the lounges, but there are various customers who are accessing the lounges, like the airlines and also the other, I would say, corporates as well. So we have built a technology for them wherein there would be a different revenue model unlike what we have done in India. Maybe, the same method can be also, will be used in India market as well. But this is one of the different things what we have built in here.
And so just to close this, any quantification you can do in terms of whether this will be meaningful from a revenue perspective in the year ahead, or is it still too small to call it out?
It is too small, Mukul, right now because we have just started this. So it will be too early for us to actually quantify anything right now.
Perfect. Great. Thanks for taking my questions and congrats again on a good rebound.
Thank you. Thank you, Mukul.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tarbir Shahapuri from Nidara Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks a lot for taking the question. You guys have emphasized a lot on the technology that you have developed. I'm struggling to kind of understand what exactly is the technological edge. And if you can just help me with, how much money you have spent to develop these, the technology, the platform over time, that would be really helpful.
Sure. So I think the way to think about it, this is that, banks basically use this as a way to administer the benefits that have been given to the end consumers. And this is the main platform on which all the usage, the spend, and everything is getting tracked. So there are two elements to this. One is the interfacing with the client, such as a bank or a network. And on the other end is the access mechanisms that is deployed at, let's say, a lounge or a golf course or, spa outlet or any of these locations. So it's an end-to-end platform that gives the bank the ability to manage a card program. So that is the layer one of it. And as we mentioned in this call as well earlier, banks are using this technology to also drive a lot of their spend-based models and the usage-based models. So they are able to, carve out or identify segments of users that are, let's say, profitable for them or, let's say, consumers that are not good for them, et cetera, and do a differentiated benefit in practical terms. So the idea is that this becomes a long-term solution for them where they are able to, also launch new products with this tech built in. So that is our core strength. But from an end consumer point of view, also what's interesting is that the access mechanisms, such as, for example, banks are taking that technology, integrating this into the bank apps. And that also then has a consumer side to it, but the consumer doesn't really realize it's our tech because it's probably branded as somebody else's tech. To give an example, if you go to any of the large metros today, there would be some or the other mechanism to do a kiosk check-in for a lounge. It may or may not have a Reebok branding on it, but that tech is actually given by us. So we do end-to-end tech service for both banks. So everyone in the ecosystem, we're giving them a solution.
Understood. And, if you can help me with what is the total cost that you have spent to develop this software or platform, you call it?
So we have actually developed it over a period of the last 4 to 5 years. We started way back in 2017-18 and slowly and gradually new capabilities, stacks get built in. If I just put a number to so far what we have invested, probably somewhere around 5.5 crores is what we have spent in last 5 years to develop it.
Understood. Okay, that's really helpful. Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shreyans Mehta from Equirius. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. A couple of questions from my side. Last quarter, we had guided for closer to 55-60% in terms of revenues. So I do understand, that we've indicated that probably November, December would be the quarter or, would be the months where we'll see the major impact. But in terms of any quantification, whether, the revised guidance is closer to 40-45%, 50%, any number on that front?
So there's no specific number, and but we do have some, some working. So see from a modeling point of view. So Sandeep mentioned, this kind of model has already been there in the market for some time. Even actually, it's in more like in terms of years, where some banks are doing the spend based on our tech for some time. And so far, there's been no practical impact on our traffic. However, just from a, just to be conservative, we are baking in some correction in the short term in our model. So what's really happening is that it's slowly dependent on the product feature of different banks. It's too early to get an accurate estimate. So we have a hypothesis that there are probably two kinds of consumers, right? So consumers that are probably have multiple cards in their wallet. So in case there is some kind of spend-based model in one of the cards, the consumer simply switches to a different card. So that is one kind of consumer. And the other consumer, let's assume, doesn't have any other wallet. So that simply makes it an opportunity for the same bank or a different bank to upsell a different card. So these are the two kind of consumer behavior. And realistically, what we also expect is that competing banks will see it as an opportunity to onboard new set of consumers, and they will start, the market dynamics will change. So that's really our hypothesis. So there may be some impact in Q3, and definitely expecting some impact in Q4. We can't quantify. This is our guess at this moment. However, the pattern will probably self-correct itself due to consumer behavior. I think that is our hypothesis at this stage.
Got it. Perfect. Secondly, on the margin, so on the flip side, can it happen, that banks would ask us to bear more costs or, cut down on our profits? So can there be a downside as far as our margins are concerned?
No, actually. So the thing is that, as we always mentioned, that the way we try and build the costing is that, whenever there is a price increase, except, what has happened this year, we try and pass it on. So I don't see that factoring. Wherein, there will be an impact on our margins going forward.
Got it. Fair enough. And one question for Gia. If I see the working capital, this quarter probably our debtor days and have increased, whereas creditor days have remained the same. And our working capital, the net working capital has increased. So is there any change to our model, or is this just a temporary phenomenon?
It's not a permanent change to the model. It remains the same because the credit period for the clients as well as the operators are based out of the contracts which we sign. And we have long-term contracts with both the parties. However, there are certain business cases and changes which keeps on happening every quarter. So say, for example, the increase in the receivables was the revenue had increased, so proportionately that has increased. But disproportionately, if you see, when we get into a new client renewal discussion, a new client addendum gets signed. So that process sometimes, gets delayed by 1 or 2 or 3 weeks or so, and then resultantly the payments get delayed. So that is the temporary impact. So I have always said that quarter on quarter is not the right way to look at the receivables or working capital management cycle, because on an annual basis, we see that receivables, debtor days are 100 days and creditor days are anywhere between 75 to 80 days. And since the balance sheet is strong, in quarter-on-quarter basis, that does not impact our cash flow requirement.
Got it. And two more questions from my side. Any updates on our railways business? You know, how is it moving?
I think it's going good. I think it's kind of normal. So, the good thing is that banks now started offering it as a offering to the mid-tier and over-tier product offering. So I think it has continued to. We are seeing good engagement, and banks are also considering it as an opportunity to include in newer products of a specific category. So I think we're seeing good traction.
In terms of any numbers, you would like to highlight how much that would have been, you know, in 1H or probably in this quarter?
So we don't do segment reporting because, you know, for us, it's about the client-based services, right? So segment reporting doesn't come into picture. But yes, railways as well as other newly added services have been growing very fast. In fact, if you look at other services, that has compared to the previous year, that has grown 5x. Now, of course, the quantum is low over there. But increase in 5x is also a big jump from the point of view that we always highlight that we focus on other services so that the mix which we actually do between the lounges as well as non-lounges business comes to a certain parity.
Got it. Got it. And one lastly, only one data point. What would have been our ESOP charges for the quarter?
So the ESOP charges for this quarter, which we have booked already, is close to $17.62 million.
$17.62 million.
Yeah.
Got it. That's it from my side. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bala Murali Krishna from Oman Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. So, I want to know regarding this international operations. So we are looking to start replicate same kind of Indian operations in the Middle East and Southeast Asia. And we are expecting some contracts to get signed, but any update on that?
So it's in process right now, as you know, that, you know, any client onboarding, especially with the banking or the financial sector, is a time-taking. But however, the team is working on it, and we will shortly tell you about, you know, the new clients which are getting on. But however, in terms of the new market, I think Malaysia, as we have already mentioned to you, that we have already entered Malaysia market in terms of our technology support to the lounges. However, the model is slightly different from what we do in India market, wherein the tech support here usually is to the client managing their program. However, here it would be more in terms of, you know, the tech support is to manage the lounge customers for the lounge operators. So here the lounges are not just the service provider for us, but would also be one of the clients who would also, I mean, we would be generating revenue from them.
Okay, that's great. And regarding this last quarter, there was some hike from the lounge operators. So you told that it is nearby, it's almost compensated from the card issuer also. I think there will be still some, there will be some difference between this lounge hike and just what we are offering to the card issuers. So could you please quantify what could be the still the difference, how much we are on lower side?
So these are running contracts. Even when with the operators, it's a running contract and the rate gets closed for next 12 months. And you know, for the clients as well, these are running contracts. So it's very difficult for us to quantify in the manner that how much is the impact.
Okay, that's all. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Varun from Abacus Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hello. I just have two questions on needed some data points. Firstly, the international passenger traffic for the quarter, Secondly, if you could give the split of DreamFox passengers between domestic and international lounge.
International passenger traffic, when it comes to the industry data, it gets published after the end of the quarter, of the next quarter. So those numbers are not yet out. So when you see the numbers in DGCA, which is 36.8 million for Q2, that is the domestic passenger traffic. Right? And for us also, when we report, when we say domestic, it is for us, the entire India passenger traffic, whether it is in the international side of the lounge or India side of the lounge. So put together, we have clocked 2.73 million passengers in Q2.
Okay. But so you don't have the split of domestic and international lounge for 2.7 million?
When we see the split for this is 76-24 for us.
Okay. And secondly, have you been experiencing any cut down on the passenger traffic due to this credit card banks cutting down on the free credit card benefits, lounge benefits?
So far, we have not seen the trend where, there is any reduction in terms of the usage. Actually, if you see that the trend is on the growing side. As you mentioned that, going forward, maybe there would be something, but presently there is nothing as such.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nihar Dave from Valium Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, apologies. I was not able to get myself out of the queue, but my questions have been answered. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Divyesh Mehta from 3P Investor Manager. Please go ahead.
So when we look at the non-launch access revenue and the usage, while you have highlighted multiple services like meet and greet, which have a higher gross margin, if these services have improved on a quarter-on-quarter basis, why is the gross margin still not fully recovered? So my broader thought is a part of it has to recover when the banks contract get those higher fees. But you should also have a benefit of the meet and greet services which have a higher margin or a higher fee per customer, which should also improve your gross margin, right?
So presently, if you actually see that the other services contribute a very small pie to the overall business. So obviously, it is too early for these services to, show a benefit into the gross margin. But going forward, yes, as we have always said that, in a couple of years, maybe around 3 to 4 years, once the numbers of other services, or the contribution would be around 20%, that's where, the impact in the gross margin will be visible. Right now, it is too early and it is actually a very, very small pie wherein, for the total contribution of the revenue.
Okay. So, continuing on the same thought, while you have started the services, and I'm assuming a good chunk of banks would have taken these offerings to their customers. But what is the penetration you have seen for these kind of services? Are they only into the super premium segment for a very small amount of usage or like one in a quarter for the top end card of it? Or how is it going through? The broader thought is to understand that if they are at the very super and the very premium end, they'll not be able to get a sizable share of the benefit, the whole card benefits cost as a whole.
So yes, these services are offered to the premium cards or the ultra premium cards, I would say. But over the period, if you look at the lounge usage as well, it's over the period where the awareness has grown and the usage has started increasing. Similarly, I would say that, even these services, I would say that the awareness needs to grow that there is a benefit of whether it is meet and assist or airport transfer or for that matter, girls, which is a part of the benefit, you know, the more the awareness grows, it will grow. However, just to, you know, highlight that presently, I would not want to mention the client or the card which has this benefit. We actually see a good, you know, growth of usage in terms of conversion from, you know, that set of cards or the set of, you know, the premium benefit which has been given. So, yes, there is a good conversion which is happening right now.
Okay, and can I squeeze in just one more question?
Sure. Yes, please.
So when you look at effectively card benefits management, like providing loans access and different kind of access, any bank or any credit card player would be thinking in terms of having a specific spend they would want to do every year, right, on such kind of services. And when in your interaction with banks, on a year-on-year basis compared to this year to next year, what is the visibility you usually see that this, how much they're going to increase or decrease the spend? Because effectively this is still a cost for them and they would have a mindset that we have spent X amount this year, next year we want to increase 10 or 20% depending on where their business is. So in this sense, have we got any visibility from the bank?
Yeah, so typically banks think more in terms of the portfolio, and typically product managers would like to think in terms of the product that they own. So when, for example, a new product is getting launched, you know, the chances of them investing in that new product and investing in trying to get customer acquisition is higher. And then there'll be products which are probably more in terms of, you know, maintenance mode where they're trying to manage the cost or optimize. So depending on the product and the life cycle of the product, different products would have a different trajectory. They kind of do some, in some cases they do give an indication, but I don't think we are in a position to, you know, share what they think. So typically, if you see the, you know, the statements of the banks, it is a cost that they are trying to manage, but they are also actively investing in new products as well. So both happen at the same time.
Okay, thanks a lot. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Guneet Singh from CCIPL. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for this opportunity. Most of my questions have been asked, but I just have a couple of questions. So you spoke about the reject by card issuers. Can you please talk a bit more about it? Because you are, I mean, anticipating maybe a small reduction in revenue in the short term. But you also mentioned that most of the card issuers have already implemented the spend-based model to provide benefits. So, I mean, if most of them have already done it, so why do we now anticipate a reduction? Can you like talk more about that?
So when you said that few of the banks have done it, we said that few of the banks have already started doing it, but there are few which are in pipeline right now. You know, because of the NDA, we cannot announce it because you will see the announcement coming from the bank directly. But yes, the implementation were done by few, but you know, there are few other banks who will be implementing this. And that's the reason we just thought that we should give you the heads up in terms if there would be any impact coming in.
All right, but in the past, these had no impact, right?
We have not seen any such impact in the past.
All right. So, I mean, are these just spend-based or is there some other criteria also which is on the pipeline by the banks? I mean, I just want to understand.
We will not be able to disclose more on this because it would be banks who would actually give such announcement from their side.
All right. And in Q1, the margins were by a one-time increase in the charges by the launch providers, right? So, I mean, can you throw some light on that? And going forward, I mean, why do we expect a gradual increase in margins? Is it because these have been passed on to the customers, or I mean, I just want to understand.
Yeah, sure. So look, I mean, we have always been saying that escalation happens at both the sides, right? And this was an exceptional increase which happened in the previous quarter. And the client escalation also happens as and when the contracts get due for the renewal, right? We don't see this kind of exceptional increase happening again because this was one of its kind. So our guess is that it might not happen again. So whenever the new clients are going to get renewed, the gap to some extent would get reduced. However, our annual guidance of 11 to 13% is what we would like to stick here.
All right. I mean, to achieve 11 to 13% margins now, we would have to clock near 13% margins for the coming two quarters.
It would not be 20% margin. Yeah, I mean, 10.6, I mean, to some extent, larger than what we have said in this quarter. It would be slightly higher in 13 and 14 to be in the range of 11 to 13%.
All right. Got it. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Participants who wish to ask questions may please press star 1 at this time. The next line of question is from Arka Bhattacharji. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, you are audible.
Yeah, that's a really, I was hopeful that this would be coming out, and I'm pretty much happy with the results that are. I have just a few questions. One is regarding the clients. In the previous presentation, it was mentioned around 1700. Has there been a reduction in the number of touch points? Because in the current presentation, it is showing around 1500. This is one. And second is the kind of businesses that you guys are acquiring from time to time, whether it's the lounge services, the spa, the salon services. How much top line are you guys expecting from these businesses? These two questions I only have.
Yeah, so actually, it's a good question. And the number of touch points are actually rapidly increasing for us. So today, I think we are also talking about, for example, we just did a partnership with a salon for new services. And that itself contains 200 touch points. Okay. When we did the golf partnership, that came with 1800 touch points. So I think at some stage the number is sounding more and more larger, and so we actually thought, let us not give, you know, that kind of nuanced detail, because then we'll also probably need to explain what those numbers really are. So we've just gone with a safe and conservative number of 1500 plus. But for example, just if you think about all the services, if you see all the services, that itself will probably be 600 touch points in the last maybe, you know, couple of months. So that's the reason we have stopped giving numbers, because sometimes people get the impression that there aren't so many lounges, and then how come your number of touch points are larger than the total number of lounges? So these kind of anticipatory questions do come, and we've faced these questions in the past. So that's the reason we are sticking to a number that... you know, we're going to be kind of remaining stable with that number. We're not trying to go and keep updating this number.
Okay. And regarding the second question, how much the kind of businesses that you guys are actually involved, how much top line you guys are?
Service contribution. Answer to that already was told. The other services in the 3 to 5 years would continue. I mean, you know, they are growing significantly, but would touch 20% of our overall service portfolio.
Thank you so much. I believe the questioner has dropped from the question section. So we'll take the next question from the line of Jainam Shah from Equirus Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. My first question is related to the our client base. Given that in RHP we have been disclosing that how much income has came from the bank and how much has came from the card issuer, which is Mastercard. So has there been any broader sense how it is moving as of now?
We don't report client-wise, right? I mean, that was one of the requirements in RHP, wherein the segregation from a network to a BFSI to any other segment was disclosed. On a quarter-on-quarter basis or annual basis, we do not disclose client-wise because internally the client arrangement also keeps changing, right? I mean, within the client, there are different billing entities, so that becomes very complicated for us at this point in time. To get into a segment reporting.
Okay. And then the other question is more on to our business profile. So as we can see that we are having 95% market share in card-based lounge access in India. And I believe that majority of the lounge access in India is through the card only. And majority of this is being borne by bank and this issuer companies. How it has been at international level, whether walk-ins are higher or banks are borne this cost or some corporates are doing it, so any broader sense on the market dynamics on an international level?
So internationally, it's slightly different than the India market because internationally, if you actually look at region-wise, there are a few regions where, you know, mostly it is more on the airline loyalty program. So that is one of the major contribution, I would say. Walk-ins as such, I would say that is at a lesser or in the same lines the way it is in India market. Because even in India, if you see, hardly it is less than 1% contribution from the walk-in customers. Largely, it is to the card holders. So similarly, I would say that the airline loyalty program holds a major in the other markets outside India. And then there are partly a few regions like, you know, whether it is Southeast Asia or Middle East countries, where and also few of the European countries, where you actually have the card benefits, which are part of the lounges.
Okay, so eventually when we go into these regions, so we need to have contract with three parties. One could be airline, other could be the banks and even like card benefit program, and third one would be the lounge operator, right? Is this understanding that to have substantially grow into international levels, we should be having all these three contracts in place?
So internationally, if you actually see in terms of the inventory, we already have tie-up with the lounges, right? So that part is already covered, right? Second is in terms of the banks or the network providers, which is in process and we are working on that. And like in India, we have already tied up with the airlines. Yes, we would be focusing internationally also to work with the international airlines as well.
Got it. And just last on this part, so in India we are having only one plastic card which can be used for both the purpose, whereas internationally there has been separate cards. So in India, in last 5 years only we have captured the entire market. So how we are looking at internationally, given that this kind of concept will also work over there, and if we are having contracts with banks or airlines, there could be substantial growth given that penetration of the cards or even lounges is very less in India as compared to the global level.
So actually the models would differ and the models will change because unlike in India, yes, you're right, you know, the number of lounges are limited, right? And the number of programs which are there. So it is easy to train the lounges. However, globally, you know, to talk about different banks or network provider or clients would be a challenge. So the way it works globally is that we are trying to, you know, do it as a DreamForks program or identify a DreamForks customer. Like we have already introduced our plastic, which is there through ICICI, which issues a DreamForks card. Similarly, we have also, you know, done our integration with the bank app, wherein the access to the lounges is identifying the DreamForks logo, and that's where the entry is. So these are the different ways, and even the vouchers, the one-time vouchers, which are also being issued to the customer, also has a Dreamforce logo. So that is how the identification is done, because if you have to be 100-plus countries where there are multiple lounges, so it becomes easier for the lounge and also easier to the customer to access the lounge.
Got it, ma'am. That's it from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shreyans Mehta from Equirius. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the follow-up opportunity. One, in terms of, you know, looking at the way traffic is moving, are we hearing from the existing lounge operators any specifics, you know, in terms of they going or expanding their lounges?
Yes, I mean, I would say that, you know, the expansion of lounges are happening, and the way the traffic is growing, the airport is also in support of giving additional space to increase the lounges, lounge sizes, I would say. So if you actually look at Delhi, there is an international side, there is a lounge which is around 35,000 square feet, which has already opened up. Hyderabad is coming up with a new terminal with a lounge with 20,000 square feet, with the additional lounge which is already existing. So I would say that yes, all the major cities where the volumes are growing, both the lounge operator and the airports are working towards increasing the space.
Anything from Mumbai or Delhi on the domestic front where, you know, we could see some expansion?
They are working on it, and both the cities, you will see additional lounges coming up.
Got it. Secondly, as far as our Korean operations are concerned, can you throw some color on it? You know, will it be only technology? Because what I recollect, probably we were also looking at some local tie-ups with the banks. So where are we on that front?
So you're talking about Malaysia?
No, Korea.
Sorry, I did not hear about...
Korea?
Yeah. Maybe Korea? I might be wrong. Yeah.
So, I mean, we never mentioned Korea as such, but then it will definitely be part of our larger, you know, geography widespread that we have spoken already, part of the Southeast Asia. But as of now, we are present in Malaysia, and why not tomorrow? Every single country is a potential geography for us where we want to enter.
So, the follow-up is, you know, will it be only technology, or probably, you know, we also have local tires? That's what I want to understand.
No, so it would be a similar model the way we have done in India. But however, it was a different way we have entered there. But we are, in the process of tying up with a different set of clients and banks in these regions as well.
Got it. And lastly, on the new line of service we added during the quarter, so how will the, you know, the business model work? Will it be, you know, will you be getting additional discounts for holding that Dreamforce card or, you know, the bank's card? Or will it be similar to what we have as far as the airport's lounge is concerned? That it's totally free.
So there are different models. So there are a model where you would be getting free services, like the way the lounges are, right?
Okay.
And there would be a few clients who would also give to their customer a discounted model as well. So both the models are in place.
Got it. Thank you. That's it for myself.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Arka Bhattacharji. Please go ahead.
Yeah, actually that was a follow-up actually. I got disconnected. I wanted to understand, I'm not sure if you guys have already answered it, regarding the line of businesses that you guys are acquiring from time to time, from spa and salon services, the golf and everything. I was wanting to know the kind of top-line margins that you guys are expecting from these businesses.
So as we mentioned that, you know, these services would be of high margins, and the margins are, at a higher side or in a competitive way compared to the lounges. However, right now it is too early because the size of the business, what we are in terms of the lounges compared vis-a-vis to the other services, the contribution is very minuscule right now. And I would say that, you know, in coming years, around 3 to 4 years, we would say that, yes, the margins, what we would be, getting from these different services will contribute or will be visible in our overall margins.
Okay, and I'll squeeze in one more question. Regarding the number of cardholders that you are seeing in your businesses, is the weight more towards the private bank cardholders or people are holding more Greenfox cards particularly? Or are there any shift in these cards?
Sorry, I did not understand. Can you please repeat the question?
Yes. What I'm trying to understand is the people who are visiting the lounges are mostly carrying bank cards with them, which is their credit cards or debit cards. Do you see any significant rise in the debit card holders, the Greenfox branded cards if they are carrying? Like in a household, if there are 3 to 5 members, they could be having like 2 to 3 credit cards and 2 debit cards. So are they carrying Greenfox cards specifically as well? Because in your presentation you have mentioned that the proprietary application that you guys are using have both the channels, Greenfox as well as private banks.
Yes, but if you actually also see that, you know, we have always been saying that the way we have managing or launched the program in India market is to give the access on the main, you know, the bank issued card, which is the credit or the debit card. So the emphasis of using the lounges in India market is through these cards. However, globally, I would say that, you know, you the card or the Greenfox card is primarily used, as we were also talking about how the access mode is going to be or is outside India. So it's more on the Greenfox logo, which would be either to the plastic or to the app. So that's one of the main reasons that why you see that India, it is more of credit and debit card, because that is how a differentiator what we have created in the India market.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much for answering your questions. Thank you.
Thank you so much. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Ms. Librata Kalit for closing comments.
Thank you once again for joining us. We hope all your queries have been answered today. If you have any more questions, please do not hesitate to contact us or our investor relation team at EY. Have a wonderful day and all the best. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Greenfox Services Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.